Good morning, everyone, and happy Christmas to you all. Happy Christmas to those present in church, people joining us on the web camera, those who listen in later in the week. You know, it's probably not the Christmas we all wanted, but this is the Christmas we have, so we're just going to make the best of it and make it the happiest Christmas possible. We begin with our opening words. Into the bright circle of life and light, which is the Christmas season, we come. Out of our routine ways of living and the rut of habit, we come to warm our hearts and minds at the cradle of the child. May the magic of the Christmas story, ancient but always new, fall like silver rain on our hopes and dreams. Once again, we pause, look, and listen to what we may hear, the music of hope, love, and peace. Our chalice lighting. Bring the candles, light the tree. There's something Christmas does to me. It weaves a charm, it casts a spell, it sheds a warmth I cannot tell. Thank God for all that Christmas does for us.
Thank you.
Let us pray. The gifts that matter have no weight. They are without substance. They cost no money. Gifts that matter most are given to us by the hand of God in grace. Moonlight on fresh fallen snow, frost delicately etched on a window pane, the warmth of a crackling fireside, bright because of the people who are there, aromas of cooked foods beckoning a family feast. Remembrance of those separated, memories of Christmas past, gone but not forgotten. The gift of this Christmas day, the opportunity to create joyful memories of this Christmas that will be carried into the future. Anticipation of the new year yet to be. Gift givers whom we love. The gift of life itself. The gifts that matter most have no weight. They cost money. But they enrich us beyond all measures. Let us join together to say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our reader this morning is Elaine.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Christmas. On this very strange Christmas day, I've taken the opportunity to choose two poems that remind me of other Christmas days in this church. And they brought a smile to my face, and I hope they bring one to you. The first one is in remembrance of all the beautiful singing that John Ward coaxed from our children here every Christmas morning. It was a source of joy, and I think melted every grinchy heart that was in the congregation. The second one is one that reminds me of some of the nativity plays that we had in this church under the fantastic curation of Dennis and Michael and others as they coaxed very realistic nativity scenes and birthing scenes that I don't think have ever been seen in a church before. It was wonderful. It's a shame we can't do them this year, but there will be other years. So the first one is called Help Wanted by Timothy Tocher. Santa needs a new reindeer. The first bunch has grown old. Dasher has arthritis. Comet hates the cold. Prancer's sick of staring at Dancer's big behind. Cupid married Blitzen, and Donner's lost his mind. Dancer's mad at Vixen for stepping on his toes. Vixen's being thrown out. She laughed at Rudolph's nose. If you are a reindeer, we hope you will apply. There is just one tricky part. You must know how to fly. And the second one is called Just Doing My Job by Claire Bevan. I'm one of Herod's henchmen. We don't have much to say. We just charge through the audience in a henchman sort of way. We all wear woolly helmets to hide our hair and ears, and Wellington's sprayed silver to match our tinfoil spears. Our swords are made of cardboard, so blood will not be spilled if we trip and stab a parent when the hall's completely filled. We don't look very scary, we're mostly small and shy, and some of us wear glasses, but we give the thing a try. We whisper henchman noises while Herod hunts for strangers, and then we all charge out again like nervous Power Rangers. Yet, when the play is over and Miss is out of breath, we'll charge around like henchmen through the hall and scare our mams to death.
We are so lucky in this church, you know, to have so many volunteers. When I start reading the thank yous for what's been done in the past year, it is quite an eye-opener. Denise should be here. She took over as chair of the managing committee when I retired last year. And basically, everything was thrown at her straight away, including, of course, all the complications to do with protocols and COVID and so on. And I have to say the managing committee have been fantastic in just getting it done. I can't start thanking anybody before expressing our deep appreciation to our minister, who has carried us through, under all circumstances, through all the complications, and she's just taken it on the chin without any problem at all. Really, it's been an amazing achievement, I think. That's number one. And to Paul, who is her backup and our devoted publisher of Auskult month after month, these wonderful magazines, which are unique, I think, in this country, with his wonderful photographic illustrations, and also doing posters for the Wayside Pulpit, deeply appreciated, and a great commitment every month. Our treasurer, Rory Delaney, who's involved not just in keeping the finances, which is an almost daily task, but all the other aspects of the church connected with it, and we're really very lucky to have him. And, of course, the man who keeps this building up, Peter White, who is the chair of the building subcommittee. Of course, I can't ignore our wonderful musical director, Josh Johnson. His improvisations, and he certainly had to improvise during this pandemic, have been unbelievable. Wonderful music we've heard in all phases. The other music makers. Gavin has stepped in there, giving us what we should be able to do as a choir, but of course aren't able to during this pandemic. Shari McDade also gave us wonderful solos, and Emily last Sunday. So our thanks to them and all the other music makers. We're so lucky to have people able just to step into the breach like this. Kevin, our devoted caretaker, who put all the lights up, prepared the place for today, and has been doing it all year in a wonderful manner, and he certainly needed. And we've also benefited from his technical ability over the electronics and so on. Technical knowledge has actually been a great help. Will O'Connell for the church rota. Every Sunday we have the welcomers, the readers and so on, and he keeps this rota going on a monthly basis, like clockwork. Tony Brady does our weekly update online. The communications subcommittee, without which our webcam probably wouldn't be here, and all the other technical issues which they've dealt with during the year. I must mention Mary O'Brien and her team on the refugee welcoming committee. This was a wonderful concept which was galvanized by this wonderful committee that operate totally independent of the managing committee. They just get on with it. And I have to say the refugees we have helped are doing very well and are deeply appreciative. Trish Webb Duffy, as secretary of our church, has of course stepped into the breach over all these controls, including this morning. She's got a list of everyone here. A wonderful commitment, the team who sanitize and initially were involved with social distancing and marking out the pews and all that. A great team who did great things and kept us in action. Some of our churches in our denomination have actually closed completely during this pandemic. We have kept going, come what may, and it's thanks to all these teams who've stepped into the breach. So I'd like to thank all our volunteers, the people who bring the flowers, the readers, and so on. And we're so lucky, as I said at the start, to have such a wonderful team in this church. It is fantastic. I have to say, when I was chairman over all the years in the past, I was humbled by the wonderful dynamics of this church.
For my reading, I have chosen a piece, Pagans and Puritans, A Christmas Message. It's written by Bill Darlison, and I was speaking to Bill Darlison yesterday evening, and he sends his greetings and love to each and every one of you. And just to say that this congregation was founded by the Puritans. In the middle of the 17th century, Christmas was banned in England. In 1644, while the Civil War was in progress, the Puritan faction in Parliament drew up the first of several laws designed to outlaw the celebration of Christmas. The Puritans objected to the drinking and debauchery, noting that more mischief is committed at that time of the year than all the year besides. But they didn't just object to the jollity and overindulgence. The very name was considered objectionable. Christ's Mass smacked a little too much of Roman Catholicism, so they changed the name to Christ's Tide and confined the celebration to just one day, and that was to be a day of fasting. What's more, there were real penalties for the disobedience. Anyone found celebrating Christmas in the traditional manner could be fined or placed in the stocks. I'm just thinking of all the rules we have for Christmas now, a bit like the Puritans. The Puritan opposition to Christmas has good rational foundations. Theologically, Christmas has no justification whatsoever. The Bible tells us nothing about the time of the year that Jesus was born. And if we take the stories at face value, it seems unlikely that Jesus was born in December. Shepherds would not be tending their flocks on the hillside in the depths of winter. And no Roman governor would be foolish enough to call a census, such as the one mentioned in Luke's Gospel, at a time when travelling would be more uncomfortable and more hazardous than at any other time of the year. Christmas is not Christian, it is pagan, said the Puritans, and they're still saying it today. And they're right. Christmas is pagan. That is, it's a festival originally celebrated by those people who lived close to the earth and its rhythms. For them, this time of the year would, since the dawn of time, have been a time of rejoicing as the sun changes direction once again and the darkness which has been threatening to overwhelm us gradually begins to loosen its grip. Why wouldn't people celebrate? And why wouldn't they celebrate in all the various ways that still linger in our Christmas celebrations, with themes of reversal, of doing things differently, which are designed to mimic and to encourage the reversal of the sun in its journey round the earth? These pagan celebrations are expressions of joy, hope, and thanksgiving, which is why they are not inappropriate in the Christian celebration of the birth of Jesus, the light of the world, who comes symbolically to turn us from our descent into darkness and guide us towards the light of God. Part of me has always loved Christmas. I love the ambiguities of the season, the intoxicating mixture of sentimentality, nostalgia, generosity, overindulgence, madness, Christianity, paganism, secularism, fantasy, hope, and concern, which highlights the joys and sorrows of our humanity better than anything else in our experience. Christmas dramatically demonstrates to us both our capabilities and our shortcomings, what we strive to be and what we sadly find it impossible to become. It illustrates the messiness of our lives in a way that no sermon, no drama, no novel even can ever hope to emulate. Why wouldn't we associate the birth of Jesus with such a stark reminder of our numerous human contradictions? At Christmas, I find myself both Puritan and pagan. Rationally, I'm with the Cromwellian parliamentarians, despairing of the excesses and alert to the dangers. But emotionally, I'm with Dickens, author of and one of our Unitarian forebears, who saw the season with all its trivialities and absurdities as a spiritual necessity, a time to loosen our belts, relax our brains, a time to relearn those two great virtues, gratitude and generosity. So to the Puritan in you, I say, happy Christtide, happy non-specific winter festival. But to the pagan, I also echo Dickens, happy Christmas, God bless each and every one. Let us pray. This Christmas, I give thanks once more for the birth of Jesus, for his message of the rule of love, and for the ultimate integrity with which he lived it. This Christmas, I give thanks one more for the great souls who have turned our world towards the light, and for the bright festivals that remember them. This Christmas, I give thanks for all the blessings in my life and for the love that has enfolded and inspired me from my own birth to the present moment. This Christmas, I give thanks for my family, those present in fond and sacred memory, and those still around me, laying down new memories for our lives' enrichment. This Christmas, I give thanks for friends both close and distant, and for all of those who share with me the path of life and faith. This Christmas, I give thanks for the past year, touched as it was by both grief and joy, by the silence of death's shadow, and by the songs of life's celebration. This Christmas, I give thanks for the glorious universe, for the divine in nature, and moments of insight and rapture, for the companionship of all who share the breath of life. This Christmas, I feel shame for our weaknesses, unkindness, and stupidity, for our failure to care for each other and the earth. But I give thanks that sometimes we care enough to be ashamed. This Christmas, I give thanks that in our caring, God calls us to continue the struggle for love and truth and righteousness and gives us the heart to do so. This Christmas, I give thanks for you, my fellow pilgrims, and I wish you and all the earth the blessings of healing, peace, and restoration. The celebration of Christmas is perfectly timed. We banish the darkest days of the year with the brightest of celebrations. We decorate our homes with lights and evergreens. We sing the winter blues away. Thoughts of healthy eating are put on hold as we stock up with cupboards with comfort foods. And as the moths are drawn to a flame, humans are drawn together in community at Christmas time. The lead up to today, Christmas Day, is always a flurry of shopping, cooking, decorating the house, gift wrapping. But late on Christmas Eve, activities begin to quieten down, and Christmas Day itself settles into its own unique stillness. Shops are closed. There's no public transport. Traffic is light. And people who rarely consider church feel drawn to sacred spaces today. The Christian story of the birth of Jesus, which is so well portrayed in Cribs, chimes perfectly with their emotions of these dark solstice days. Jesus was born at a time of political repression, upheaval, and insecurity. His parents shared the general poverty of their class. They were ordinary people trying to survive the Roman occupation. A child was born into less than ideal circumstances. But as always, the miracle of birth outshines everything. The birth of every child is the greatest miracle. And that great miracle of birth includes you and me. I think sometimes we forget that you are just as much a miracle when you were born and continue to be. The baby welcoming service in this church uses the words, "It is in the children that the hope of the world is ever renewed." The truth of those words echoes through history. Each night a child is born is a holy night. When we consider the libraries that have been written about the life of Jesus and its significance for humanity, when we think of the wars that have been fought in the name of Jesus and in the name of religions, there is a remarkable silence that surrounds the individual in the crib scenes. The shepherds and the wise men both told Mary and Joseph what they had heard concerning the birth of their son. And we are told that Mary kept the words in her heart and pondered them. Joseph is silent. And it's that silence that echoes to us, because it doesn't tell us what we should believe, shouldn't believe, or do, or anything else. It just speaks to our emotions. And of course, the world's most popular hymn is, of course, Silent Night. Perhaps it is this silence that speaks so eloquently to us even today. The silence allows the song of the angels to penetrate so that we hear it. It is in the silence that we're able to discern the brightness of the star. It is silence that allows us to appreciate the miracle of birth and the possibilities that new life brings, not just 2,000 years ago, but right now. And I know that two families in this congregation, at a minimum, are celebrating new births in their families, which is absolutely wonderful. We know how the life story of Jesus transpired. He lived his message of peace to all mankind. And he spent all the years he lived going around doing good deeds. He followed his star to its ultimate conclusion on a cross. And silence was a central part of his prayer life. We know how that it is obvious. That's another thing about Jesus, is we think about it. He must have had terrific people skills. People were drawn to the person of Jesus, because he made time to listen to them. He had the gift of making those he encountered feel understood and accepted just as they were. He never went around telling people how bad they were. He just listened to them and encouraged them to be better. And we see this trait in him, particularly in the story of, do you remember the woman with the hemorrhage? He was surrounded by people. And the woman thought, if I just touched him, I will be better. And he felt her distress, even in the press of the crowd. And you know, sometimes when we just acknowledge another person's pain or distress is enough to make them feel better. Christmas is, of course, about presents, as in gifts, and presence, as in who the people who are with us. And the gifts are far less important. It is the people who are present in our lives who are. While we love to gather with family at Christmas, the gatherings can be tricky. They do have their stresses. If, however, we were to take an example from Jesus and give people our attention, listen to them, make allowances, remember that this is a stressful time for everyone, we might reduce the stress. The celebration of Christmas Day and the enforced stillness of the day itself both have the power to open floodgates of memories for us. Memories of Christmases past. And for most of us, the memories will be some of our happiest experiences when childhood allowed us the imagination and the magic of Christmas to enchant us. You know that, I think an example of that is the ad, Barry's Tea ad for the train set. There is nothing like hearing that sound, and straight away you're back at a time of pure magic. But as Bill Darlison wrote in that reading this morning, Unitarians can be conflicted about Christmas. The rational part of the brain tells us that the nativity story is a story, and there is no need for conflict, because December the 25th is a perfect day to mark the birth of Jesus. Because birth is always a good news story. The nativity story is so perfectly woven that it draws even the most cynical of us into its beauty. Christmas is a time of nostalgia. Memories of Christmas past have the power to evoke sadness in us. Christmas gatherings highlight the ebb and flow of family life. This Christmas, some families will celebrate the first Christmas with a new family member, while for other families, this Christmas will be marked by the permanent absence of some family members. The joy of Christmas highlights the absence of loved ones. And it's healthy to acknowledge the sadness, particularly of bereavement, knowing that loss is part of the richness of the human story. Absences are particularly to the fore this Christmas time. It's a time for homecomings, for reunions. It is the one time of the year when we do make an effort to meet up with old friends and family. This is our second Christmas of COVID-enforced separations. And it runs totally against the grain that we should be saying of Christmas limited to 3 households. It's just against everything we do at Christmas. Come on in, have a drink, sit down, have a mince pie. The more the merrier. But these enforced separations should be acknowledged with the assurance that they will pass. We are in a better place this Christmas than we were this time last year. So let separation allow us to appreciate even more the people we have around us to share today with. Particularly today, pick up the phone and make contact with somebody you know who's alone, because there are lonely people out there. The human need for connection at Christmas magnifies the pain for someone who is lonely. And let's temper our expectations of today. Today is not going to bring peace to the world or end wars or hunger. They will still be with us. But today is the day to appreciate the wonder of nature. The days are now going brighter. It's time to reconnect with the people in our lives. And we can still sing, laugh, and be joyful. We will celebrate life in spite of everything, because the world is wonderful. It is a gift to be celebrated. And I wish each and every one of you a happy and peaceful Christmas. A joyful day. Our notices, just to say, Christmas this year is so much better. We have singing in the church and music. Gavin, thank you so much, and Doreen and Josh for the music. And just to say, it's available on our Facebook page. A member of this congregation, Grace O'Duffy, who is still at school, but she has written a hymn, and it's been sung by the Dublin Youth Choir, who practice in this church. It's a beautiful hymn. Have a listen on Facebook, on our Facebook page. Usually, every year, our Christmas offering goes to charity, and this year's charity is Brother Kevin in the Capuchin Centre. We're not sending the plates around, but there is a box on the way out, and whatever goes into the box today and at the service tomorrow will go to Brother Kevin. So be generous. There's a Oscult magazine for January 2022, believe it or not, is on the table on the way out. And just please notice the notice on the back of the page. In February, our refugee group will be asking us to be generous to replenish their coffers, because they've been doing terrific work with refugees. And it's lovely. It's absolutely delightful to hear the stories of the good work people are doing in this church. We're going to have a service tomorrow in the church. It's favourite readings and music, and everyone is welcome. It'll be very relaxed, not very long. Wednesday, the reflection service will be on at 1:05 to 1:35, again available via webcam or in person. We have invested in some headphones that enable people to hear the service better, even in the church. They're directly tuned in to the PA system. So there's five of them there. We're not sure if we have enough. Maybe some other people would value using one. If so, will you just tell Kevin? And if there's any feedback on it, that would be appreciated as well. But several people who have used them say that they are worthwhile using. We will now have our blessing. This Christmas day will be what we make it. It will be a time of love, if we are loving, It will be a time of peace if we are peaceful. It will be a time of kindness and generosity if we are kind and generous. We go in peace. Amen.